We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrand. Joining me, as always, over there in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
First of all, I appreciate you introducing me, but if you could, for the time being, moving forward, I just didn't clear this with you before, but given the nature of today's show, I figured it would be appropriate that you call me Dan Rubenstein, presented by Gatorade Glacier Freeze.
Nice, nice,
Dan
Rubenstein.
Nice. It's when you are feeling the heat of the moment, Ty, head for that Glacier Freeze. I just literally Googled Gatorade flavors. Had to find the silliest sounding one. Glacier Cherry, Riptide Rush. We're not being paid by Gatorade. And that thus ends this promotion.
I thought you were going to go goldenpalace.com. That was a thing for a while, wasn't it?
Does it still exist? That's a no-brainer. Well,
maybe in the boxing arena?
That becomes tricky with NIL, though, right?
I guess, like, because of the gambling implications?
Sure. Yeah, of course. And you don't want somebody, you know, being represented by gambling interests as somebody who could affect gambling interests on the field. One of many questions I have that hopefully will be answered by our guest today.
Our guest today is Ross Dellinger. We've had him on before to talk about big topics in the college football world. Ross, of course, from Sports Illustrated SI.com. For those of you wondering, what are we talking about? It is NIL Day, Dan. It is, yes, NIL Day, July the 1st, 2021. What does that mean? It means, in effect, that college athletes in every state should now be eligible to receive compensation for their names, their images, and their likenesses. There are some states, specifically Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, New Mexico, and Texas, that do have state-specific NIL laws that go into effect today. But there are many other athletes in many other states that will, in effect, again, be able to cash in on their image. Ross is going to be by here momentarily to discuss some of what it means for the sport, what kind of market is out there for some of these athletes, Dan. What are your big questions about NIL?
My big question is nothing Ross can answer, but I think Ross can certainly weigh in on from an educated perspective, because he's been reporting on NIL, what the legislative aspects, the student athlete, and that's such a funny term, the athlete aspect, the school aspect, the conference aspect. I'm curious to see literally what is the structure of, is it going to be conference level, school level, NCAA level? That's still sort of a discussion point, because you don't necessarily want schools instituting rules for themselves that other schools are not, you know, the advantages and disadvantage aspect of it is fascinating to me. Like, what are the frameworks? What are the guidelines going to be? What are the attempts going to be to sort of not rein in anything, because I think, you know, football players in our instance should be free to pursue things within reason the way that you and I are. I just want everybody on the same, like everybody understands the same boundaries, not necessarily financial boundaries, but the way it's just everything operates. That to me is fascinating. And then literally just the day-to-day of who's negotiating the deals. Is it an agency situation? Is the school in a part of that conversation? Like what does it look like? And then it may be in the next month, it may be the next year. What could go really wrong?
Yeah.
And not like in a, like, somebody being bribed $1 million or whatever, quote unquote bribe, but somebody being paid $1 million to go to a certain school, that's whatever. But what happens if somebody doesn't get paid? Like, who is in charge of going to Gatorade and saying, you didn't pay me for my Glacier Freeze promo? Like, what does it look like? What is the actual nut and bolt of each athlete and their situation going to look like? It's fascinating. It truly is. And I don't mean this in like a negative way, which a lot of people do. Like, it's wild, wild west.
Oh,
the wall
yeah.
is coming down. I'm excited to see how things go wrong, not because I want them to, but how they get fixed and how they get rectified and how the whole thing takes shape.
We are now more than ever a society of doom scrollers, Dan. You've heard the term. What can go wrong? We talk about it every November, the chaos theory of the playoff, of the postseason, of conference championships, of college football in general. That's why conference realignment, remember, that was such a big deal because things were breaking down before our very eyes. This is a new variable. For me, it's exciting because it's a new variable. And I don't know if it's going to upset the competitive balance in the sport as we know it. I don't know if it's finally going to be the thing that topples Nick Saban in Alabama or Dabo Sweeney and Clemson. In all likelihood, the answer is no. But it is a new factor that we need to somehow take into account. And hopefully Ross can help give us a better idea for what it means in the short, medium, and long term, and just what he's hearing with his ear to the ground of the college football world. Incredibly fascinating, because we just don't get big things like this coming through the sport all that often.
I want to see, I mean, this is, listen, it's all brand new. What types of deals can be made? Not just, I mean, there's the sort of, we're paying you to show off our, you know, drink or our exercise band or whatever on social media because you have a big following, or on a local commercial for, you know, I saw Nebraska players have this opportunity with Runza, which is a chain of casual restaurants. I have never been to a Runza. My understanding is the famous Runza sandwich is a, not paying us, is a very popular thing there. And so that's sort of a cultural element to the state, which makes sense, right? Like, Nebraska football is the show in town, all due respect to whatever Creighton basketball, whatever is in second place, but that's the show in town. And so schools like that are going to have, or athletes at schools like that are going to have opportunities that are unique. What I'm curious about is there going to be an athlete that says, you know what, why don't you just not pay me money and give me 3% of your company? Who's going to get a vitamin water 50 cent deal?
This is a Shark Tank type of deal.
Who's going to get the Keanu Matrix deal? Like, are there going to be savvy negotiators, either the players themselves or representatives of the players themselves? Like, somebody is going to come out of this with like a, yep, they thought they were just advertising strong man energy and they took 1% of the company for their efforts. And Coca-Cola bought Strongman for $1 billion. Yeah.
Congratulations on
in
the
2026. Yeah, exactly. Like, who is, like, what are the savvier plays going to be? Because I'm not all that worked up about like, oh, the richest schools are gonna negotiate. Okay. I am just curious about what players, specifically football, but this is happening across many sports, because we see athletes, you know, whatever, gymnasts, divers, soccer players with social followings, which is incredible that you're able to sort of leverage your audience and make money off of them like anybody else. But football players specifically, what creative ways people are going to go about things? That to me is fascinating. That I can't wait for.
Congratulations, you now own 51% of a local used car dealership.
Can you go on Cameo?
Probably.
Yeah. Like, what is the open, like, okay, who is the most famous football player this year? Who is the, based on social following, based on just general audience awareness, who would you say is the most famous college football player playing college football in 2021, this moment?
I don't know. Spencer Rattler is probably the favorite for the Heisman, so he's got to be up there.
Spencer Rattler's probably up there. Sam Howell is probably up there.
De'Ara King has been in the pipeline for about 15 years now, so he's had more than ample opportunity to build up his social following.
Sure. But I'm just talking strict fame. Like, who is, if they were walking on the streets of St. Louis, Seattle, Miami, well, maybe not Miami because that's technically a college town, but who is the most absolute recognizable person in college football? I mean, Spencer Rattler, maybe.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But whoever that person is, there is now a market for their services. Again, college athletes effectively in all states starting today are able to receive compensation for their names, images, and likenesses. Dan, a huge shift in sport. I had the opportunity to catch up with Ross Dellinger, talk more about what all this means. Without further ado, have a listen. Don't forget to follow along on social media for all the fun little tidbits that we post out for the world to see.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, we are joined now by Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated. Ross, we're recording this on NIL Eve. Many folks will be listening to this on July the 1st. Name, image, and likeness, it's a thing. In terms of pure chaos, Ross, shoot me straight here. Is this a bump in the road, or is this like the old school SportsCenter Y2K commercial with all hell breaking loose? Where do we stand here?
Well, it probably is in between there, right? It's probably not necessarily just a little bump in the road. And as we sit here on the eve of the NIL eve, more and more brands are kind of pouring into the market, if you will, at the last minute. So I think it's going to be pretty active. And so it's more than a bump in the road, I think, but it is going to be a little chaotic because everybody's playing by slightly different rules. You know, schools can create their own policy. If you're not in a state with a law, and if you're in a state with a law, you got to follow the law, and the laws are all different as well. So there are only slight differences though. There are still differences. So it's a little bit of an uneven playing field.
We are recording this shortly after news has broken that the NCAA has adopted an interim policy of sorts, right? That there were, of course, a couple states that had passed their own version of legislation. The NCAA was racing to try and put some interim measures in place to cover those athletes who played in different states. Where do we stand now, knowing that this has passed? What do we know about the rules that they passed? Where does all that stand?
Yeah. So basically what's going to happen is if you, for schools in states with state laws, they'll adhere to the state law, and in every school will have their own little policy, but they'll adhere to the state statute and stuff. But for schools that are in states without a state law, they will create their own policies, and they'll do it based on guiding principles that the NCAA released. And really, it's a very minimalist proposal that the NCAA released. They're really letting the schools do their own thing. The only real guiding principles state that you can't enter into pay for play type stuff.
Right.
You can't pay for play. No recruiting inducements. No quid pro quo type thing where it's compensation for work. And that's pretty much it. So, it's up to the schools, and they'll have to create their own rules, and they can be as restrictive or pretty much as liberal as they want, as long as they stay inside those guiding type principles the NCAA released.
We did a mini series, Ross, where we did a breakdown of what the conference decision-making looked like from the conference level with regard to COVID. And there was a sense maybe early on of camaraderie, but the closer we got to the actual start of the season, that went up in smoke. Everyone went their own separate ways. I get the sense from the reporting that you've done on this very particular issue about NCAA involvement that was, again, a bit of the case where we kind of had warring factions here. We had some who thought the NCAA should be a little bit more heavy-handed. We had others who thought that maybe they should be a lot less restrictive. Are we to imply then that we came down on the less restrictive side of the fence here with what they ultimately decided on?
Yes, by far. So basically what you had is you had two proposals that the NCAA was examining, exploring, and one of them has been worked on for 2 years, and it is a more restrictive proposal, a permanent legislative proposal with that is would restrict athletes from a number of endorsement type deals, including using school marks and logos and things like that. So you had that, and then you had the very liberal minimalist, whatever you want to call it, guidance. It's kind of a temporary solution to a federal law can be passed by Congress. And the NCAA obviously decided to go with the latter because the former, they believed, opened themselves up to more lawsuits. And it was the Alston case and decision that really led them down that road. Alston and the language in the opinion of Alston opened up the NCAA to more antitrust lawsuits if they adopt legislation that restricts athletes from earning an NIL in any way. And so instead of passing a full length policy that they worked on for 2 years, they went with this very kind of dumbed down temporary solution that only offers schools guiding principles, basically washing their hands of the issue and putting it in the hands of the schools.
Yeah, I think you tweeted out that the NCAA's guidance in layman's terms was, we don't want schools to get involved, but if you do, it's sort of at your own discretion. You can do kind of whatever you want.
Yes, correct. Right. Exactly. That's basically what they're saying is, you should not get involved, but if you do get involved, well, that it's probably going to end poorly for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because as college football fans, we live in this constant economy of chaos where weird situations and doomsday scenarios sort of make the whole thing tick. Based on what you're seeing now from the NCAA level, from some of, I'm sure, what you've pieced together over the course of time, just covering the story, what's the gray area for you? What's the area that's most ripe for disaster?
Some of these states are going to create state laws that are going to potentially be a lot more permissive for athletes than the state laws. So they'll create rules that are going to be a little different. And I can tell you, a lot of it involves what you just talked about, the institutional involvement, right? How involved the institutional can be, because it's kind of up to an institution to kind of put in their rules if they are going to be involved or not. And so that is certainly an issue. Another issue is athletes wearing school marks and logos during endorsements. You're going to have some schools that are going to allow that with approval from the school, and others that won't allow that. So that'll be a big difference too. So there'll be these differences for sure. And then at some point, I'm sure that we're going to have a student sue a school over restrictions, over their own rules. And then we'll have to deal with that.
We've already started to hear about deals being cut. Some athletes have started announcing them on Twitter. All student athletes, as you tweeted out, in the state of Nebraska are going to have offers from the Runza restaurant chain. I feel like we're going to hear all sorts of strange scenarios and pairings in the very immediate future. But do you have any sense for what that marketplace actually looks like out there?
No, not really. I think what you're going to see is the really top, the star athletes, right, are going to sign some pretty big deals, pretty significant deals. Some are going to sign with agents. And then you're going to have those with large media followings. And a lot of women athletes have those. They're going to make pretty significant money, too, and enter some pretty big deals as well. And then you're going to have a big gap, right, until you get to the other players. So those star players, those with social media, big social media followings, could make in the six figures. There's no doubt annually. But then there's going to be a big drop, and you're going to have 90-95% that, you know, are probably maybe not even going to crack the five-figure mark, maybe. I don't know. But we just don't know. And that's the thing. It's everything's a little uncertain right now.
What is the rule around agents? Because these players obviously need to be protected if they're entering into any kind of extended agreement, maybe not just like the simple open doors thing that they would find online on their own. But if they're negotiating some sort of larger contract, how does the NCAA now view that relationship?
Well, you can have a marketing agent, but not one. That agent cannot represent you on the pro level. There can't be any extension. The contract can't go through your college career, I don't believe. And the representative, the agent, can't represent pro players, I don't believe. So you can have a marketing agent just for college. And I think, you know, some big high profile athletes really already have that. Now, they haven't officially signed the deals, but they already have that. So so you can have that. But it gets tricky, you know, because some, you know, agents can be agents. And so you're going to have some issues probably that we'll run into down the line here with agents.
Final question. I know it's been a busy day for you, Ross. We appreciate your time. What are the boundaries for endorsement deals? It seems like that may also be gray area. So, for example, where do things like, I don't know, private plane rides or players even getting equity, let's say, in a small company, cashless benefits, where do things like that come down with respect to NIL?
All those things would be allowed if they are not deemed recruiting inducements or pay for play. And the schools themselves are the ones that would be in charge of determining that. And it's kind of an ambiguous thing, and it's really kind of tough to determine. So you're going to trust the schools to determine if a kid at a restaurant got a free meal because he tweeted about being at the restaurant, or did he get the free meal because he's a star quarterback?
Wow.
And he doesn't pay for meals at hometown. So you're going to have a lot of that. You're going to have a lot of that, but that has to be reported to the school. And once the school gets it, if they deem it some kind of unsavory or something, I guess they could report it to the NCAA. That's going to be the process.
There are going to be a lot of compliance departments on eggshells over the next couple of years to say, until they get more of a system around this. This is, wow.
Yep.
Talk about a culture change, right?
Indeed. Very much so. It's crazy.
Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated, SI.com. Again, very busy day for you. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. And as a special bonus to talk more about NIL, very pleased to welcome back longtime friend of the podcast, host of his own podcast, the Hand in the Dirt podcast, also a pizza man like our good friend Dan Rubenstein, Mr. Michael Felder, joins us here on the Solid Verbal. Sir, how are you?
I'm good. I mean, I'd say Dan's the pizza man. I'm a pizza boy, you know?
Pizza. So I have to ask the question then. So Dan's little pizza operation is Valley Circle Pizza. Yours is Clever Girl Pizza. Who named their pizza operation first?
Oh, Dan, for sure. He did it. And then on Hand in the Dirt, he coerced isn't the right word, but I will say he vehemently urged me to come up with a name and to do a thing. And Clever Girl is what we all settled on, because Clever Girl is a reference to Jurassic Park. And that's right. My kid's favorite movie.
The Velociraptor, right?
Oh, yeah. Clever Girl.
All right. So NIL, you're a former player. Talk me through a player's mentality here of this legislation. So this has sort of been stirring. It's finally here as of today. Most folks are listening to this on July the 1st. Not everybody out there is going to get a big money deal, but a lot of people will. What is your mentality if you're a player signing on with the school? Maybe you're already with a school, but how are you approaching this, Michael?
I think there's three different levels. I think one is that big level that you reference with the NCAA football game, which I don't know if people know this, but guys in the NFL, they all get Madden checks. And so if the game were to come back, if you're in the game, then you should get an NCAA check, a check for them putting you in the video game. And EA has already been willing to do that. The NCAA would not let them. So I think that's the first part. I think the second part becomes social media, more so than anything. And that's a part that I don't think a lot of folks realize. I think social media is going to play such a humongous role in this, via whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, what have you, where you do your sponsored posts and you're able to generate revenue that way. And then I think the third part are local deals. And local has two meanings to me, because Ty, local can be local where you go to college or local where you're from. If you're the first player to come from, you know, BFE somewhere, maybe that car dealer wants to do a thing with you, or maybe that restaurant wants to do a thing with you, or any of those things. And I think that's going to be a really interesting element to that. It's one of the things prior to the NCAA's ruling that I had a lot of questions with Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic, because she's the one that broke the news. But I was like, but if you do a local deal in Florida, and Florida's already legalized it, but you play football in Wisconsin, can you do a deal in Florida and then not have it count against you in Wisconsin? So the NCAA really took a big step forward, They got out of their own way, really, right?
Well, it's interesting. So I just spoke with Ross Dellinger from SI.com, who's mm-hmm. been also doing a ton of reporting on this. And the most interesting angle to me is that the NCAA was forced to make a choice. They knew that this legislation was going to go into effect July 1, and they knew that they couldn't have some schools that could do it and others that couldn't. They had to put some sort of interim measure in place in lieu of any federal legislation. That's why they're doing this. Mm-hmm. They had a choice. The choice was either be really restrictive or be really not. Interestingly enough, they went with the really not approach. And that's incredibly fascinating on 1,000 different levels, not the least of which is there is a ton of gray area with this, Michael. There is so much gray area. I asked him about private plane rides or equity in companies. All these different ways of paying a player, there really are no rules. All the rules state is that if you're a school, don't make it pay for play. Don't make it some sort of improper benefit from the recruiting standpoint. But pretty much everything else is on the table, which is bonkers and such a culture shift from where we were at just like 5 minutes ago. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's, I mean, think about when you guys started this show, when I started getting into the writing and then obviously transitioned to doing video television, everyone was completely against it for the most part. One of the best stories that anyone could do over the course of the year was, see, we caught these guys getting impermissible benefits, right?
Right, yeah.
And it's shifted to, you know what, they should, at the minimum, they should be able to profit off their names. And I'm quite curious to see how this is worked out with jersey sales.
Oh, right,
Because people aren't going to stop buying jerseys. But if your university is licensed through, whether it's Nike or it's Adidas or it's Under Armour, but that's your jersey, do you get to feed off of that? Because I think that's another element that hasn't been discussed nearly enough. Everybody is so focused on the video game and then social or these like big deals for high profile players. So I'm very curious to see how that all works out. But yes, it's a massive culture shift that we've seen in the last probably 10 to 15 years. And I do think that there's a level of college football operates with paranoia in a big way. The idea that the other guy might get better before I get better.
Right.
And I think paranoia is what drove Florida, Washington, California, Georgia, any of these states to push the envelope because they're worried about what the other guy might do. And ultimately that forced the NCAA's hand. And then obviously the Supreme Court ruling didn't push NIL, but what it did do was say, guess what? There's going to be a lot more bullets coming and I hope you're ready.
Yeah.
And so what we're seeing is an NCAA, I don't think that the NCAA is starting to crumble, but I think what we're starting to see is they're going to have to do their job. And maybe their job isn't policing kids from getting money. Maybe their job is finding ways to make sure that kids don't get taken advantage of. Because as you mentioned, the equity and the investment opportunities, I don't want to see a kid lose money getting trapped in some sort of a weird crypto scheme, right? Like, I don't want to see that. And that's the way you protect athletes in this current landscape.
I'm still very amazed at the fact that this is all basically because of a lawsuit that originated because of a video game. Yep. NCAA football. NCAA, the college football video game series through EA Sports, could end up being one of the more consequential sports related things in our lifetime. And it was entirely for reasons that nobody saw coming, but because of the lawsuits that arose as a result of that title, public opinion has changed in a very big way in a short period of time, even to the extent that schools are now openly supportive of NIL. I don't know if they actually feel that. They have to be on the side of this because nobody wants to be on the wrong side of it. But how do you expect programs to lean into this? And again, put on your player hat for a second. How do you think that will be received by players who maybe are recruited by some schools who have leaned more progressively into the legislation?
I think leaning into it is the most important thing that a school can do. And I do think that schools are legitimately supportive of it. Whether you look at Purdue or Nebraska or Florida or Alabama or any of these schools that already have whether it's a course situation where they have courses set up for you to understand brand management, or they have facilities set up Florida has a podcast studio. They have a podcast and a music studio set up for student athletes, basically waiting for this to happen so that they can monetize what they have. I think being on that side of it is incredibly important. Alabama's partnered. There are several schools that have partnered with representation firms that are able to, you know, help you not just maximize brand, but let you know if this is a good deal or a bad deal. So I think leaning in is the good thing because they sit in your living room, and this is me putting my player hat on, Ty. They sit in your living room and they tell you, we're going to help you prepare for your future after football, basketball, gymnastics, whatever it is. We're going to prepare you to be an adult. We're going to prepare you to do XYZ. And so this is part of them making good on that. And whether it's window dressing or lip service or it's for real, the reality is you better have at least the mechanisms in place to get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, schools taking up an active part in this would be like mm-hmm. the richest possible outcome, because for so long it was the institutions arguing on behalf of the scholarship and its value to the student athlete. Mm-hmm. Now to take on a more active role, which they will have to do out of necessity, because like you said, they're all paranoid. They're all trying to keep up with the Joneses. That to me is such a twist and such a cultural shift in this sport that I would expect in the very early going, we will see incredible ingenuity. We will see incredible creativity, folks pushing the boundaries of that gray area, what does or doesn't constitute any kind of improprieties as far as the NCAA sees it. We are definitely going to have some period of time here, like we do in every new burgeoning industry, to be honest, where nobody knows which end is up. Folks are doing whatever they damn well please. And we're going to be reading about a lot of interesting stuff like 3 years from now.
Oh, yeah. There are going to be growing pains. There are going to be people who slide through the cracks, people who kind of get shut down for things that they probably shouldn't have been shut down for, which is going to be interesting. I think the camp industry is going to be remarkable. I'm curious to see if Nike gets back reinvested in the camp industry, to be quite honest. I know they've kind of backed away from it in the last like four years.
So you're talking about like Elite 11 type of stuff.
Bingo. Yeah. Like those guys went out there for free. Like I don't know, for people that don't know what I've done or what I do, like I went to the Elite 11. This is the second year I haven't gone to the Elite 11, third year I haven't gone to the Elite 11 in the last like decade. But Deshaun Watson or JT Barrett, even Notre Dame, Malik Zaire, all those, like those guys go back there for free. Well, your guy, Trace McSorley, was there.
Yeah.
They go back there for free. Like they don't have to pay for their flight or their room and board, but they go back there for free to teach these kids and try to help these kids out. And now they've got an opportunity to, you know, make a little coin. So I wonder if that, whether it's Adidas or it's Under Armour or it is Nike, or could be even Russell Athletic or Champion, who knows? But somebody else jumps into the game to get these guys back out there and actually put a little money in their pocket while they're still in school. I think that's another element of this that's pretty interesting. And then on a more local level, one of my really good friends is a girl, Jennifer Perkins. She was the North Carolina player, the Gatorade Player of the Year for soccer. And if she got to just go back to her own high school and do a soccer camp, that's a chance for her to put some money in her pocket that doesn't exist right now. Same thing with whether it's lacrosse. And I know that this is obviously it's a college football podcast, but I think a lot of folks don't realize that those quote unquote non-revenue sports have humongous followings, and women's sports especially have huge followings because they know where the source is to get the information that they want. It's not going to be on ESPN, so they have to find it via social, whether it's Facebook or it's Instagram or it's Twitter. They have to find it there, and they are rabid followers, and I think that's going to be another element that can be a real big positive. And seeing women's sports, seeing Olympic sports, seeing non-rev sports kind of on the come up, I think is a big part that also hasn't been considered, but it is going to be the wild, wild west. It's going to be folks finding ways. And I guess at the end of the day, the big thing for me is going to be, I'm looking for some sort of advocacy for these kids because I mean, look, we're in our 30s, right?
Yep.
And we work hard to not get ripped off.
No.
And I just don't want an 18-year-old to get ripped off. That's the thing I'm looking at now.
The thing that I think about too, NIL, we talk about this frequently through the lens mm-hmm. of endorsements. You know, it's legal now for kids to go out there and sign on with Runza, whoever, in Nebraska. Yeah. But the law here, at least per the ruling by the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. is really broad in the sense that it's saying, no, they can just make money. They can do things. It's not just endorsements. So half the podcasts you listen to have Patreons.
Yep.
Could the quarterback at Toledo decide to do a Patreon? I believe this means he could.
Yep.
It's just a whole new territory.
I've thought about that a lot, too. Hell, our guys, Bud Elliott and Chip Patterson over at Cover 3 for CBS, they were like, ship us some merch. We'll do ads for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like to sell merch, like for people to sell, like you can sell your own merch instead of having the school sell merch for your Heisman campaign. You can sell your own merch.
Well, and Graham Mertz has a trademark now.
Bingo.
I saw Bohannon, basketball player from Wisconsin, is partnering with a company. So as this becomes more and more of a thing over the next few weeks, you'll undoubtedly hear about more endorsement deals and partnerships that are popping up. But wow, what a time to be alive, man.
It's amazing. It's one of those things that growing up, I never thought we would see because everything was so rigid.
Yeah.
But now people have really come around to it. And I think it's really, to be quite honest, and I'll wrap up here real quick, but to be quite honest, it's been really cool to be a part of that media world that's made the big shift from maybe we shouldn't be like chasing down how these kids are breaking your rules and maybe we should be pushing against the rules. That's been maybe one of the best parts of being in this space at this time.
Stick it to the man, right? Stick it to the man. Yeah. All right. Michael Felder, Handed the Dirt podcast, longtime friend of the Solid Verbal. Make sure you check him out, his podcast, all of his social media feeds. Appreciate you hopping on here with me on short notice to talk about this. I know it's a topic that you're passionate about. So yeah, we'll talk soon, man.
Sounds good, man. Thank you so much for having me. Take it easy.
All right. Big thanks again to Ross Dellinger from SI.com and our friend Michael Felder from the Hand in the Dirt podcast. More to come on this moving forward, how it affects college football. A lot of this is a great unknown. We are playing without a net here to some extent. It will be very interesting to follow this story as it progresses over the course of the next few months, certainly over the course of the next couple of years to see how it evolves. But a momentous day, any way you want to look at it.
What are you doing for the 4th of July, by the way?
I'm not sure yet, actually.
What?
I'm trying to fire the grill up outside. Yeah, I might try to play some golf. Not sure. How about you?
Having some friends over to grill. Going to do burgers and dogs, and I'm going to make my blueberry crumble, which is always delicious. I think I'm going to really go for it on the top of the crumble, above the oats, the sugary oat top layer. I think I'm going to go for it with some berries and maybe like a lemon icing, a design of some kind. You know, I'm feeling creative this year.
Oh, that's great. I wanted to mention
that
we received a ton of great feedback on my suggestion about being an omelet chef.
Okay.
Everybody
what
was in my
was
corner.
Fantastic.
Nobody was in yours. I will accept your apology whenever you are ready.
So you are saying that you will be a full-time... This is a discussion if you didn't listen, and bless you if you didn't. If we had to take a full-time job that only involved working on our feet with our hands, nothing digital, you think that just a dedicated omelet professional is a career that you could find somewhere?
Yes.
Whereas I think in nicer hotels, God, maybe they're doing breakfast from what time to what time?
Listen.
6 to 10, 11?
Listen.
I think it has to be omelets and. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know how you choose to run your quote unquote nicer hotel.
Yeah.
But I'm catering to a different social class, Dan. These are premium omelets that I bring to the equation that I offer as part of my specialty chef services.
Yeah.
And this is how I choose to spend my 6 months.
You carry around a briefcase with your pan?
That's exactly yeah. Right. Like a pool cue when you take it to the bar. I have my pans with me.
Like a masseuse with their foldable table. Uh-huh.
Exactly. It all goes in the back of the SUV. Here is the way this thing works. You said a 6 month sabbatical. We never said it had to be a real career. Omelet chef is where I'm going with this.
Do you know what? Now that you say it out loud, I still don't think that you could get this job in a restaurant or a hotel without also doing something else. But I think now that people are, you know, you can get like somebody to come out to your home and with like a pizza oven, right? And do a catering. They're making pizza in their backyard, or they're doing, you know, they're bringing a smoker over and smoking like that. Maybe you have a niche where you bring your own like portable range, whatever, you know, your electric stovetop situation. You have your own table. I wonder, though, how many burners you could have going at once.
Ooh.
Right. If you are taking requests, like you could be making multiple pizzas at once with the right size oven. You could be smoking multiple briskets or ribs or whatever. But it's a delicate dance, the omelet game, right? You're checking the how cooked each side is. You're filling at the same time. You're folding. You're turning. How many pans could you imagine? Could you manage? How many burners?
At once?
Yeah.
I could probably do five at once.
Get out.
I think I
what are you talking about? You're a crazy person. You could manage five omelets at various stages of cook at once.
I could, yeah. I could do that.
I think we're going to need to film this somehow.
I could definitely do that. Because you've got one pan of the toppings. You're cooking up the toppings in one pan.
And well, you could pre-cook that, couldn't you?
You could pre-cook that too, sure. But I'm advertising a level of freshness, I think, that really makes it a premium breakfast experience. God. You know, so I envision one big pan that has all my toppings in it. You know, presumably they're not things that you can't mix together. They're all going the same place anyway.
And are you solo or do you have an assistant?
I hadn't considered the assistant angle.
Well, I mean, this is a business that you're starting, right? You're bringing omelets to people
just to prove a point. I don't know.
So if you were to set up a stream, a video stream of you in your kitchen, and people were to give you omelet requests on the fly, one after the other, live on the stream.
Right.
You think you could pull off four at a time?
Yeah.
I assume you have four burners on your range.
I could do that, yeah.
Do you have enough pans to do it?
I do not have enough pans to do it.
Okay.
I do not have enough pans. That could be an issue, but
yeah.
I think you could pull off four at once.
You could take live requests, and when the first of the four is finished, you're plating that, and you're making a new one as the three others are cooking?
This is turning into an I Love Lucy cookies on the conveyor belt situation.
I don't know how you're claiming five and now you're doubting four.
I'm claiming five pans, not five omelets. I'm claiming one pan with toppings, four omelets simultaneous.
Oh, are you saying somebody else is constructing and you are forming?
No, I'm making. I'm just saying there's five pans total, one pan of topping, and four pans of eggs. I would do it for you. I just don't want to waste the eggs.
Well, I mean, have people over so they can eat your omelets. I just think you're playing a very dangerous game of whack-a-mole here.
All right. Well, write in solidverbal@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on this and other controversial matters related to college.
You've never
football.
Worked in food service, or have you?
I have not, no.
It's it can get harrowing and stressful, but it also trains you, right, to work under stress and duress. Right. So, okay.
I believe I could do it, Dan. I believe I could do it.
That's an unbelievable claim, and I love that you've made it.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrand, thank you so much for downloading, for listening, for supporting the show. We will be back next week. In the meantime, wherever your 4th of July holiday takes you, please stay safe, stay healthy, and as always, stay solid.
Peace.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.